This morning we want to turn in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. We want to read one verse this morning. And as you're turning there, a thought came to my mind as we're here worshiping, we're gathering together. And for those of us who's ever flown in an airplane, you've gone to the airport, you've checked in, you've gone through all the different devices to make sure that you're not carrying anything that would harm someone, and then you drop off your luggage. When you drop off your luggage, you're depending upon those individuals to take care of your luggage. And then when you fly to your destination, you get off the airplane, you're trying to find, for those who doesn't fly very much, you're trying to figure out where in the world you're supposed to go. And then you go into the luggage department, and they've got these conveyor belts or whatever they are that brings out your luggage, or at least it goes through this conveyor belt. And you're looking for luggage. You're looking for your luggage. You know what it looks like. You know what color it is. You know it's got your label on it. But as you're noticing, all different luggages come in different shapes and sizes. And you just look, and luggage comes through this conveyor belt. And you're looking for your luggage. But yet you see all the other pieces of luggage that's coming out. And then finally, hopefully, if they did their job, and it's not on another plane somewhere, you find your luggage. And you pick up your luggage, and you know that it's your luggage. You say, what does that have to do with church? Well, my thought was that everybody comes into church with different baggage. Everybody comes into church with different baggages that's all shapes or sizes. But it's your baggage, and you're carrying it. And so my heart's desire this morning is that you leave your baggage wherever it may be, and you ask the Lord to help you with carrying that baggage. And you allow Him to carry that baggage, because it comes in all shapes or sizes. And I believe this morning that we, everyone, need help, and we need help from the Lord. And so we want to read a passage of Scripture this morning that I trust can help you and that can help me, and that is found in Isaiah 26, verse 3. The Bible says, "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Our message this morning is just one word: peace. Peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to spend with you. We pray that you'll clear our minds, clear our hearts. Whatever may be troubling us, we pray, Lord, that we will set it aside and that we will focus on you. I ask for your help this morning, and I know that others desire your help this morning, because we really never know what someone is dealing with in their life. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us. But when we focus this morning on peace, the most important thing is that we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So, Lord, our prayer is this morning that if someone that is listening or watching that doesn't know Christ, that they'll come to know Christ. And for someone here that doesn't know Christ, Lord, I pray that they'll come to know Jesus. But, Lord, I also pray that we that do know Christ, if there's turmoil in lives and situations, Lord, I pray that you'll give that peace that you can give. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, because we understand this morning that if anything is accomplished, you have to do it. So we lift the service up to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Peace. Peace is probably one of the most sought out desires in a person's life. Peace treaties are signed and many times broken. Peace is sought out in some of the toughest times and some of the toughest areas in a person's life. Families seek peace. Relationships seek peace. Workplace environments seek peace. Homes seek peace. And many in life itself seek peace. Peace is desired to ultimately life itself. I know many times that my mother would say, raising six kids, I would just like a little peace. Peace in the house without turmoil. Some might even say, I just want peace in my life. Others might say, I never have a moments of peace. There are even commercial commercials and products that are being sold that say you can have peace. Many of you remember the commercial of the lady who is had a very busy day, and she buys a product that's called Calgon. And they say, Calgon, take me away, all seeking peace. You see, peace is an important thing. In storms, peace is desired. This promise here was given by God in a very dark time of Israel's history. Very dark days were in Israel's environment, in Israel's life. And a promise was given that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in the Lord. It seems today we are surrounded by gloom and depression, troubles, doubts, and all the things that roll into those. And when peace is not evident, then doubts will come, fear will come, worry is inevitable. When things are going well and the skies are bright, it's easy to say, I have peace now. I have peace in my life. Not a cloud in the sky. My life's good, so I have peace. But when trials come, when disappointments come, when anxiety comes, when heaviness comes, it's a little harder to say, I have peace. Because peace isn't focused on, but yet all the things around us, all the things that we're dealing with, all the baggage that we carry, it's hard to say that I have peace. There's no promise given in God's Word that says or that suggests that while we're in this body, this earthly body, here on earth, that we will not experience freedom from trouble, freedom from war, freedom from trials, freedom from temptation, freedom from tears, freedom from anguish, freedom from loss, freedom from bereavement. There's no promise that we'll not have to deal with those things. But there is a far better promise. And it's a promise of perfect peace in the midst of all these things. There is a promise that is given. The promise isn't that we're not going to have to deal with life's problems, because we all carried in different baggage. We all carried in different heaviness. We all carried in different things. And it comes in all shapes and sizes, but it's ours. But the promise here that we need to focus on this morning is that peace, that perfect peace that God gives. You see, Israel was struggling. Israel was dealing with a lot of different things, and some was the fact of the decisions that they made in their life. And believe it or not, baggage sometimes that we carry is what we decided that brought on those things. Sometimes not, but yet sometimes so. So what peace can we have this morning? What perfect peace is being talked about? Well, I want to give you just a few things this morning that I hope can help us as we consider the word peace, because as I said before, it's sought out. And I believe that if I was to possibly ask the majority of you this morning, what is one thing that you want in life, and that would be peace. Peace. The greatest blessing that is offered to us this morning is perfect peace. The greatest blessing that is offered to us this morning is that perfect peace. The misconception here is this, that if we have peace, then all the things around us will not be happening. The misconception here is that we won't have trials, that we won't have problems, that we won't have things in our life to happen. And when we think of perfect peace, we think of seclusion of all these problems in life. But that's a misconception, because perfect peace, even in the midst of here with Israel, they was going through a very dark time in their life, but yet they were offered perfect peace. But yet they still had to continue this time in their life. So what is perfect peace? What is the perfect peace that we're offered this morning? One person said it's a condition of freedom from disturbance within the soul. The peace which God offers, and by His grace, we can experience perfect peace. The peace that He offers is perfect peace. His grace we can experience is very practical in our life. It's none other than a great calm which He commands. You see, He can command a great calm in our life, even in the midst of a storm. Now, I've referred to this passage many times, even actually spoke at a funeral in this passage, but I want to read to you one verse here in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, when there was a great storm, and Jesus said the words, "Let us go to the other side." And as they were going to the other side, they were in a ship, and the Bible says there was a great storm. The winds was blowing, waves were beating the ship, and it was now full. So their ship was full of what I would call weather. Their ship was full of difficulties. Well, you're not going to have much peace when you're in a ship that you think might sink. There's been times, I think I've mentioned this before, and I haven't gone deep sea fishing in several years now, but I'm a 50-50 person. And what I mean by that is 50% of the times I get sick, 50% I don't. And I never know which 50 I'm going to have until I get about 20 or 30 miles out and I can't see land. And then I'll know whether I'm going to be 50-50 or not. But there has been a few times that I've been out and there was a storm that approached. And you could see the storm coming, and I was trying to figure out where I can get off, and you can't get off when you're out in the middle of the ocean. And I saw the storm approaching, and I started looking for some kind of cover because the storm was happening. And the storm on the water comes very quickly. And many times you can't outrun a storm, but you're in the midst of the storm. Well, do you realize that life is the same way? You see the possibility of a storm approaching. You see the things, you have the making of a perfect storm in life, and whether it's by your choosing or not, the storm's going to come, and in a moment's notice, you can be in that storm. And then you're looking for cover. And the winds are blowing. The ship is filling up. But yet, there's a question that was asked. And when they asked him, they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And so, that great question. Now, if we're ever honest with ourselves, and maybe you've done this and maybe you haven't, but if you ever asked, "Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? Why am I, I'm, you know," and we start thinking about our own life, and we start thinking, "Well, I've done this and I've done that and I've done this." And so in our thinking, we're thinking, "Well, maybe we shouldn't have to go through this because we've done all the right things." But you see, storms in life and peace is not generated by the things that we do, but peace is generated by Him and what He does. It's not what we do. Because if everything was generated by what we do, then why would we need Him? You see, peace comes from Him. So in the midst of this storm, and they say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" In verse 39, he says, "And he arose and rebuked the winds and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the Bible says, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." And then he asked the question, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Do you realize that sometimes when we focus on the storms of life and when we focus on a lot of different things rather than Him, then we start even questioning our faith. So he says, "Why is it that you not have no faith?" Faith. And the Bible says, "And they feared and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey?" But one thing that it's very notable to make mention is that when the storms and the calm took place, then it also took place in their hearts. You see, the peace that He offers, yes, He can calm the storms and He can calm the winds and He can calm the seas, but He can also calm the heart. The heart. The winds had a great calm, but so did the hearts of the people in the ship. All because of Jesus. So what is it about this perfect peace? Well, the first thing I want to make mention is this. It's perfect as its quality. Quality. Quality peace. Quality is important. Some people think of quantity, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But if you're real hungry, then you might, you know, this is Super Bowl Sunday, and I told Darla, I said, "Well, I said if you're looking for pizza or some kind of chicken nuggets or chicken strips or something such as that, I can say this, that the poor chickens probably dread this day." But there's probably not going to be a lot that's found at this late notice. So sometimes when you're hungry, you have to decide whether you want quality or quantity. Because sometimes if we're real hungry, we're not as worried about the quality as long as you can swallow it, than the flavor, because you're looking for some kind of filling. Well, when it comes to the peace, that perfect peace that Jesus gives, it's full of quality. It's full of quality. Many times we experience an imperfect peace. And something came to my mind as I was studying this passage, and that is this. When we're looking at a stream a stream of water, and rains come and flood waters, and the western North Carolina experienced this at a great magnitude. It's very disturbing. But yet, as the waters calm, and as the streams and rivers slow down, there's sometimes a pocket, maybe that got flooded and then it didn't drain correctly, and there's these pockets of water by these creeks and rivers that is just there. Now, that water is calm. That water isn't moving. But yet it's stagnant. And when I was a boy and I used to run around in the woods growing up, there would be times that my grandfather would tell me, don't try to drink that water because it's toxic. So every calm in our life may not be that perfect peace or that perfect calm, and in reality, it could be toxic. We have to be careful, and we have to search, and we have to look, and we have to focus on the perfect peace, not just something that is calm, because calm is not always the greatest, because it can be very toxic. God's perfect peace is guaranteed to be pure. His perfect peace is guaranteed to be rich, and His perfect peace is guaranteed to be real, not something that is artificial. Perfect peace. And now let's think of that quantity, that perfect quantity when it comes to peace. The supply is sufficient. And the reason I believe that the supply is sufficient is because sometimes you might need more than me, and sometimes I might need more than you. When we were growing up, and if you had a family at all, if you had a family more than one, when it comes to your brothers or sisters, if you had a family more than one, there's always going to be someone say, well, that's not fair. They got more than me. And if you could ever imagine being raised in a family of six children, that was probably said every day at some point or another. But the quantity that is offered to us, that perfect peace, there's plenty to go around. And the supply is sufficient. There's enough. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The people, it's got the S on the end of these words, which means it's for everyone. The peace of the heart and the peace of the mind comes from the Lord. And we can never know the peace of God until we have the peace of God. We can never know the peace of God without having the peace with God, which is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him. It starts by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How does this perfect peace come to us? It's nothing that we can earn, and it's nothing that we can buy. It cannot be purchased in any way because it's already been purchased through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. By Jesus. And that's what that verse is saying in Philippians chapter 4. That peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So He has to be part of that peace that we're desiring. He has to be part of that peace that is sought out by many. Jesus Christ is the answer. My dad used to have a radio broadcast, and that's what he called it, Christ is the Answer broadcast, because Christ is the answer to that peace. It's by Jesus Christ. But it's also, we have something else, and that is none other than the Holy Spirit. The Lord gives us the Holy Spirit, and He works in us. He works in us. It's by the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. You see, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Peace is a fruit. You know, there's been times when we first bought our house, we had two apple trees and a pear tree, and they all died. There's just not a lot of topsoil, but they all died at some point while we were living there. But before they died, there was one apple tree that never produced any fruit. There was another apple tree, and the reason it died is because it got so heavy one time that it actually broke, and I had to cut it because it there wasn't nothing left of it. And then the pear tree wasn't very pretty, but it produced some mighty good pears. It's not the pretty, but it's the produce. That peace that the Holy Spirit gives us is a product of Jesus living within us. The Holy Spirit is fruit. He gives us that fruit. So it begins with Jesus Christ. It continues through the Holy Spirit that is within us. And then another thing is this. How do we know? How do we know Jesus loves us? I've heard it all my life. Jesus loves you. There was a song, many youth groups and different things growing up. There was a song, Jesus loves me, this I know. But how do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. How do we know we can have that perfect peace? Because the Bible. We must have the Word in our life. We must have the Word. How do we get our direction? We get it from the Word. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have thy which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. We must have that peace from the Word. The Word helps us. The Word directs us. The Word corrects us. The Word gives us help in so many ways. How many times have you just been searching and reading through the Bible and a verse come to life and you say, that's what I needed today. That's what I needed today. I needed that help. I needed that strength that the Word gives. And the Lord has given us because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we have the truth because the Bible is the truth. You see, we have that. That's how we can have that perfect peace, is through Jesus, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life. And by His Word, we have that peace. And in another way to have this perfect peace is by obedience. Obedience. Growing up, I was pretty stubborn, as many of you might have been. But growing up, some of the best times at home was when I listened and I did what I was supposed to do. And in reality, if I would have ever learned growing up that if I did those things, it was actually far better than I could imagine. There was one thing that my mother used to do when I was growing up. And she would always say, you need to go take your nap. And to be honest with you, growing up, I hated naps. Now I love them. How times change. But I would always want, she would always say, it's time to take your nap. And there were so many times that my neighbors would be playing and I'd look out the window and I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. And she would go in and she would peek in. She had a routine and she would always peek in and yes, I was guilty. I would close my eyes like I was asleep. And then when she left, I crawled out the window. True. And then I would go play with my friends and she would hear. And she would call me back, and that nap got longer and longer and longer because I didn't listen. When if I would have just allowed things to work and allowed just that few moments that she was asking for, I would have went out to play much sooner. Well, think about the obedience of what God wants us to do. Just simply being obedient. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 and following, the Bible says, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruits, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. And the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Simply being obedient to God's word will help us with our peace, that perfect peace. And then lastly this morning, how do we have that perfect peace? And that is through prayer and through praise. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, being careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Who will God keep in perfect peace? His children. Having that perfect peace. Our text verse this morning was this. That will keep him in perfect peace. And it gives us the answer, whose mind stays on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace comes from Jesus Christ. Our minds stay on him because we trust him. We trust him. The one whose mind stays on thee, the one who trusts him will have that peace, and that peace passes all understanding. One of the greatest sought-out desires is peace, but it begins with Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for our time together and how that great offer of perfect peace is offered to everyone. Help us to realize it begins with Jesus. Help us to realize it continues in Jesus. Help us to realize we focus on Jesus. And help us to realize we need to come to Jesus. Lord, as I said, as you well know, every one of us has our own baggage called life. Every one of us came in this morning, and those that are watching has different baggage. And sometimes that baggage is a peace robber. Help us to leave that baggage, give it to you, and seek that perfect peace through Jesus Christ. Father, if there's someone that doesn't know you this morning, I pray that they'll come. But Father, if there's someone that's struggling in their own heart, seeking peace, help them to come and talk to you. As we open in prayer this morning, we continue that and say, if anything's going to be done, you have to do it. So we ask that you do such this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What